Ladies and gentlemen, we present Kenneth Williams, Hugh Paddock, and Joan Sims in...
Stop messing about. I don't care what anyone says. I'm going to come out with it. I am going to say it, yes. Kenneth Williams is brilliant. Well, no one else says it round here. They don't realise the immensity of my potential. They don't. They don't. After all, I am your actor of some calibre.
Hello, Ken.
Hello. What's the suitcase for?
Well, we're going away for the weekend together.
Oh, brazen with it!
Not that sort of weekend. There's a party of us.
Oh, that sort of weekend.
Not at all. For one thing, my mother will be coming.
So, you see, there's... You never told me that.
Odd luck, mate. It's going to be that sort of weekend.
Oh, she's been dying to meet you. I've told her all about you, how handsome and suave and charming you are.
Joan, you naughty girl slap. Oh. It's wicked to tell lies to your mummy.
I must say, Joan, I did expect us to be alone together. On our own together. Alone, so to speak.
Oh, that's going to cramp your style.
Well, frankly, yes. There's nothing worse than having one's style cramped.
Oh.
Especially in a romantic city like Paris.
Oh, Paris. Oh, Paris. Oh, I love it. I go there all the time. Oh, I do. I'm a regular Parisite. As I walk along the boulevard with my independent air.
Didn't know you wore a wig.
Oh! Wig, you see, independent air. Oh, I direct your bon mot.
Bon mot. Mo, as in coup de grace.
Well, Hugh, if... Hugh, dear, if you want me to, I can put my mother off.
You have that effect on most people.
If you did, Joan, I'm sure that we could enjoy each other. Enjoy ourselves much more.
Oh, it's all so romantic.
Darling, je vous aime beaucoup.
Darling, je vous aime, Hugh too.
Oh, Joan.
Oh, Hugh.
Oh, mother. If you're listening, take a word of advice. Go with them.
Pardonnez-moi, monsieur.
Well, not you and all. Just make the announcement in English, Douglas.
Now, as the cast seem to be feeling a little French this week, we now bring you Cracker Jacques Honoré with Mother à la Française. So, here, draped in a tricolour, with a clove of garlic tucked in an embonpoint, ici jolie Madame Maud Neversol.
Bonjour, mes petites, et mes grandes aussi. Which means, of course... Good day, my littles, and my bigs also. Anyway, here is a thrilling tale of the French underground, that vast secret organization in which hundreds of tourists get lost every year. Once there was a porter called Pierre, who longed to be a great artist and starved to death in a garret. The trouble was, he couldn't find a model who'd pose for him in the nude. They all insisted he put on his clothes before he started painting. So off he went to Gay Montmartre, where the girls were dancing an energetic can-can with many cries of, "Oh la la!" and "Ouch!" Pierre thought he saw a vacant stool at the bar, so he sat down. Then he quickly got up and said, "Oh, pardonnez-moi, Monsieur Lautrec." Was his Moulin Rouge. Beaucoup. So was Monsieur Lautrec's. Not that you could see it, because his broad-brimmed hat was pushed right down over his pince-nez, and he stormed off into the night like an angry mushroom. Then something caught Pierre's eye. It was a flying garter, which had landed in his glass of Pernod. "By the feather of my aunt," he cried. This could make a sequel to the Mona Lisa. And he did a quick thumbnail sketch on his thumbnail. And that's how he became the first of the French Impressionists. But as they say in France, bonjour tristesse, which means, of course, oh, very well, but I'll hate myself in the morning. But our sort. Here's one they sing in the evening on the Promenade des Anglais, where tourists wander up and down hoping to pick up a little je ne sais quoi, and quite often they do. Bonsoir, monsieur, comment allez-vous? If vous allez that way, then I'll allez too. We'll walk down le bois, we'll sit sur le herb, and I'll teach to you an irregular verb. Say, monsieur, our customs are strange, so I will explique the rate of exchange. Pardonnez, monsieur, though England expects, I cannot exchange any traveller's checks. Au revoir, monsieur, how tragic, mon cher, that you must return to old Angleterre. It touches my heart that I'm, as you say, a très joli morceau of homework français. Olé!
So we come to our regular feature, Feeble Fables, stories with a moral.
Well, I hope it's better than last week's A Bird in the Hand is Bad Table Manners.
Our story with a moral this week is set in a time of trouble for Britain. Can we have some prisoner of war music, please?
With knobs on. My name is Belcher. I was always getting out. One way or another. I'd been arrested on a false charge and placed in solitary in Stalag 17. I had appealed, of course, and waited now to hear those magic words.
Belcher, pardon granted.
3 months later, I was sitting in the hut when the door opened and Godfrey came in. He was another camp prisoner. He took a deep breath, squared his massive shoulders and said...
Hello. Dear, I just had this letter from our girl back home. It says, Dear Godfrey, I couldn't wait for you, so I've married your father, love mother.
Oh, don't take it too hard, old boy.
I can't stand any longer. I can't take any more. The loneliness, the boredom, the waiting is driving me mad. I'm telling you, mad, mad. I'm going out of my mind. I'm going stark raving mad.
Godfrey, you can't break down now.
Hold on a minute. I've got another bit to do yet. Yeah? Just you to interrupt. Right in the middle of my histrionics. That's when I was getting worked up. Almost had me Oscar in me grasp.
I'm...
ruin the opportunity.
I'm frightfully sorry.
All right. Mad, I tell you, mad! Mad, mad, mad! Now you...
Thank you. Godfrey, where's your stiff upper lip?
Right here, above my soft, flabby lower one.
Oh, dear. Second World War sketch with jokes from the same period.
Dicky Bird.
What do you mean, Dicky Bird?
Well, I haven't said one for the last two pages.
Now it's jokes from the First World War.
Listen, dear, you wait nicely like a good little girl until your big entrance. Up through a tunnel, under the floorboards. I mean, you've got a couple of nice things.
Pardon?
Later on in the script. So let's get back to it.
Achtung, Achtung, Achtung.
Bless you.
This is your Oberleutnant speaking. There have been too many escape attempts in recent weeks. If this state of affairs continues, we shall be forced to cut off your privileges.
These nasty Nazis, they'll stop at nothing.
Godfrey, look, the floorboards are splintering. Someone must have dug a tunnel and come up underneath our hut.
Hello, boys.
Oh, good Lord, it's a WAF.
What does that stand for, by the way?
In my case... woman always available for.
Always available for what?
You have been away for a long time. I'm sorry, my dear, but if you've escaped from the woman's camp over the road, you've come the wrong way.
Oh, that's what you think. Kiss me, you handsome, young, virile hunk of man.
But he's not young, handsome, and virile.
No, but I've been away from home a long time, too.
Godfrey, do you realise what this girl can do for us?
Come off here. I've been away from home all that long.
Our escape plan.
Oh.
Yes. She can distract the guard in the searchlight tower while we cut the lead and put the searchlight out of action.
It's not only tired old jokes this week, it's tired old plots as well. It's a dead nick straight out of the cold ditch story, isn't it?
Later that night, I climbed the ladder up to the top of the searchlight tower.
Got you, Himmel, Donner and Blitzen, Simon and Garfunkel. It's a woman.
You speak English?
I have to. They can't do subtitles on radio.
I'm here to captivate you. Do you realize that beneath this greatcoat, I am wearing only my underwear? One RAF issue vest. Woolly. And one pair of bloomers. Winciette, large, other ranks for the use of. There. Doesn't that drive you into a frenzy?
Ah, what's wrong? My searchlight has gone out. It must be mended. I will call the maintenance team. Hans Schmidt, Hans Kruger, Hans Sternberg, Hans Dietrich. Quickly, repair the searchlight.
And by now, I'm sure you'll all have worked out the moral of this week's story. So all together, please. 1, 2, 3...
Problem Corner. And to tell us that things are worse than we thought, here is our Problem Man of the Week.
My name is Clarence J. Mouse Partner, but I'm not really myself today.
Well, then who are you?
I haven't finished. Not really myself, due to an upsetting incident the other night at Hackney Wick Public Baths. You see, I was deprived of a very meaningful position.
Not your...
No.
Mine often slip off when I dive.
No. Not them. No, my season ticket... Torn out before my very face, it was. And I was forbidden the premises.
But what had you done? Tried to sail your rubber duck?
No. No, you see, I'm one of those rare individuals who do things better underwater.
Rare? You must be unique.
Not at all. Far from it. There are many like myself who find... I'm more at ease when totally submerged. People trying to give up smoking, for instance.
That's true.
Yes. And speaking as a designer of ladies' knitwear...
I didn't know you were.
Oh, yes, I am. And last summer, I found I did it much better underwater.
Really?
Yes. Whilst practising underwater swimming at Bude, I had this sudden flash.
Pardon?
Flash. Oh. Sudden flash. Of inspiration. I was having a little rest on the bottom and pondering on a new design when suddenly it all come to me. I had a vision of this gusset with a lock stitch invert in the...
Yes. To return to Hackney Wick Baths.
How well. It got so expensive traipsing down to Bude every time I wanted to create a new mode, so I started dropping in at my local baths.
Very sensible.
I'd sit for hours in the deep end with my underwater ballpoint and my waterproof jotting pad. But the other night I realised I had forgotten something.
Your snorkel?
Oh, worse than that. You see...
Yes?
Well, Friday night's is ladies' night.
Time now for our song spot. Once again, we bring you the maxi-length Harriet's Male Voice Choir.
It's Boner to open up your ear and sing.
It's Boner to hear the Omi voices ring
in a harmony.
Oh, hello!
Hello, welcome. I'm Nancy, the old man.
and a special hello to Mrs. Winifred Hoist of Balmoral View, Crouch End.
Hello, Winlove.
Louder! She might be up the garden. Louder! Oh. Hello, Winlove, up the garden. I sent you them photos you was asking about.
Oh, you haven't?
No. No, not them. The other ones.
Oh, no.
Oh,
I only hope they won't arrive looking all bent.
They was looking all bent. It was looking all bent when they left. Time you finished packing them up. And what was it you wrote beside the stamp? It wasn't first class mail, was it?
No, it wasn't.
So what was it?
First class omies.
Ah! You great Nelly!
Excuse me.
Oh, I thought you'd wandered off into the lift and got sent up.
In present company, who needs a lift?
Oh! Me, Miss Quick as a Flash, knife thrower's assistant.
Later, perhaps.
Oh!
Right. Right now, I'd like to know what you're going to sing.
Well, Chuck, lots of fans have written in with suggestions.
Loads of suggestions. Mm.
But in the end, we settled for a little bit of Fred Chopping.
Fred Chopping, lovely fella, Fred. Oh, here, you heard about his friend.
I presume you're referring to the famous novelist George Sand.
There you are. You didn't believe me, did you? He had a friend called George. He's just like you.
I must point out that Georges Sand was a lady novelist. It was a very stormy relationship.
Oh, just the same with me.
Same with him.
Same with him. Went off and joined the Merchant Navy, my George did.
Oh. I think you'd better sing.
Can't suit yourself. Don't want the biography.
Frederick would often play upon the night
on his piano,
and he'd keep on playing it for days and days
on his piano.
His lady friend keep hoping that the tune would end. She often used to shout, "Oh, Fred, belt up
in a ladylike manner."
When Frederick played louder than he had before,
she gave a bellow.
Off she went and opened up her bottom drawer,
took out her cello.
Then, if you please, she put the thing between her knees. Then she'd play an overture by Brahms
and Ivan the Bello.
Frederick, he nearly went berserk, he did.
Fred was a worker,
banged his head against the grand piano lid,
made him berserk,
said something rude, and then he played a loud etude. And after that he went out and got Liszt,
and they did a berserk. They could have berserked all night. They could have berserked all night.
Hold on!
What's the matter?
How come Frederick's dancing with Liszt?
Well, what do you expect from a fella with a girlfriend called George?
Now it's time for the Smith Report. First, here are the news headlines. In a London street today, a bank messenger was held up by a man holding a gun hidden inside a bunch of flowers. The gunman was later arrested on a charge of robbery with violence. Which brings us to this week's main topic. The Smith Report investigates show business and poses the question, if all the world's a stage, where are the dressing rooms?
That's very good, isn't it? That robbery with violets. That's funny, isn't it?
To continue. We talked in the street to some people who are actually in show business.
Well, yes, I am, actually, yes. I used to be a talent scout for Ralph Reader. Yes, I used to go around looking for talented scouts. Now I work for a strip club and I go around scouting for talent. I've just discovered a beautiful girl with a fantastic figure. Her vital statistics are 52, 23, 35.
But what can she actually do?
Well, with a bit of help, she can sit up.
Oh, I've worked in a circus. circus for nearly 40 years, and now my elephant has died. Dead, he is dead. Oh, I'm very upset.
Oh, were you very fond of Jumbo?
No, but I'm the one who's got to bury him.
My name is Fatima, and I'm a belly dancer. I'm really very good, but then I went to a very good school of belly.
So much for the opinions of people in show business, but what are the views of the ordinary man?
Theatre these days is all smut, filth and nudity. They've gone as far as having nude scenes in Romeo and Juliet. They'll be having them in pantomimes next. I mean, can you imagine a nude Widow Twankey? Mind boggles. And look at this musical called Hair. Half the time, that's all they've got on. And this other show, Pyjama Tops. Live-bodied, full-bosomed... Live-bodied... full-bosomed young women cavorting around in only a see-through nightie. Oh, if I had my way, I'd take it off.
One of the unsung heroes of show business is the stuntman. On the set of his latest film, Britain's leading stuntman was interviewed by Fife McFinger Exercise.
Now, Mr. Baxter, I've been watching you rehearse. Yes, I've been watching you rehearse this very dangerous sequence that you'll be actually performing this afternoon.
Yes. It's dangerous. Jumping from a tank of water into the window of a burning building 200 feet below.
No, it's the other way round, actually.
So it is. Jumping 200 feet from a burning tank of water into the building of a window.
Mr. Baxter, I hope you won't mind my mentioning it, but are you drunk?
No. I'm paralytic.
Will you be in this condition when you make your death-defying leap?
Oh, I hope so.
Finally, the laughter makers. Are they as funny offstage as on? Does a comic still laugh when he comes home to find his wife in the arms of another man?
Oh, Amanda.
Oh, Roger.
Hello, 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 hello. Put that woman down. You don't know where she's been.
Charlie, I'm in love with Roger.
I was once in love with a beautiful girl. She was so bow-legged, she was a model for sugar tongs. I've got another point up.
And I love Amanda. We are going to get married.
I always say marriage is like taking a bath. It's not so hot once you get used to it.
Charlie, Roger and I are going to get married.
Oh, I wouldn't do that if I were you. You'll be incompatible.
What do you mean?
Well, you've got no income and she's not patible.
Hey, wanna Jim?
Can't we talk this over like civilized people?
Certainly, I'll mix you a drink. What I call a lucky old sun cocktail. One of these and you'll roll round heaven all day.
Charlie, we've got to talk about the children.
Children, I love them. Some people can't bear them, neither can I.
Yes, just a moment.
Think of the second hour. Now, here's your drink. Here's your drink. It's not a lucky old son, it's a David and Goliath. Two of these and you're stoned.
Listen, I'm running away with your wife. We're going abroad.
That puts me in mind of a little visitation. There was a young lady from France, decided that she'd take a chance. She let herself go for an hour or so, and now all his sisters are aunts. I'll cheer you up, thank you very much indeed.
Oh, that does it, Roger. I'll go upstairs and get my suitcase.
Now, there's a woman. What? Hasn't got a jealous bone in her body. Jealous fat, she has. Her parents are in the iron and steel business. Her mother irons and her father's out of work a lot. I will tell you. Now listen, folks.
I'm ready, Roger. Goodbye, Charles.
Goodbye, Amanda. And remember, if you can keep your head when all about are losing theirs, they'll be much taller than the office.
I shan't forget this, Charlie. The way you've treated this poor, unfortunate lady.
That was a lady. That was my wife.
was Stop Messing About with Kenneth Williams, Hugh Paddock, Joan Sims, and the Max Harris Group. The script was by Miles Rudge and David Cumming and Derek Collier. The producer was John Simmons.